For marketing agencies and social media managers looking to prove the value of their work, I've got something special for you. Agora Pulse is not only Social Media Examiner's tool of choice as an all-in-one social media management tool, it also allows you to track the traffic, conversion, and revenue from every social post, comment, and private message. Learn how to prove your social media ROI with a free training or a free trial by visiting agorapulse.com/SME today. Again, agorapulse.com/SME.
Welcome to the Social Media Marketing Podcast, helping you navigate the social media jungle. And now, here is your host, Michael Stelzner.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining me for the Social Media Marketing Podcast, brought to you by Social Media Examiner. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner, and this is the podcast for marketers and business owners who want to know how to navigate the ever-changing marketing jungle. Today, I'm going to be joined by Ali Kelly, and we're going to go behind the scenes at Social Media Examiner, and we're going to talk about how we do our marketing at Social Media Examiner. If you're looking for some creative ideas on how to do your marketing, I think you might find this behind-the-scenes episode very interesting. By the way, I'm at Stelzner on Facebook and at Mike_Stelzner on Twitter/X. And if you're new to this podcast, be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss any of our future content. Let's transition over to today's interview with Ali Kelly.
Helping you to simplify your social safari. Here is this week's expert guide.
Today, I'm very excited to be joined by Ali Kelly. If you don't know who Ali is, she's the head of the Social Media Marketing Society, a Social Media Examiner community. She's been working for my company for 8 years. Ali, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I am so excited to be here. This is so fun.
I'm super excited that you're here. Today, Ali and I are going to go behind the scenes, exploring how we market one of our products, the Social Media Marketing Society. It's our hope that you will discover new ideas when you market your own products and services, and maybe a little bit about how we do things over here at Social Media Examiner. So before we get started, Ali, I'd love to hear a little bit about your story. How did you come to ultimately work for Social Media Examiner? And ultimately, how did the society get started? Start wherever you want to start.
So my story started back when Social Media Marketing World started back in 2013. I had been studying for roughly 3 years through an online program, getting my MBA. And I had originally wanted to kind of work my way up into a better position with the company I was with previously, trying to make myself more valuable. And I had advice from a mentor that was like, if you get your MBA, that would really make a difference. In the middle of that program, it was really apparent that it was not going to make a difference. There was just no opportunity for growth at this company. So I started to explore the things that I was learning and what I was really interested in. And this was back in about 2010, 11. And I started to really recognize social media. There was an opportunity for businesses that they were not fully grasping and taking advantage of yet. And that got me really excited. So I actually ended up doing my thesis for this master's program as a study about social media marketing usage among small to medium businesses in my local area, which is Central Kentucky. Very long story short is that they were vastly underutilizing it, but that made for an exciting opportunity. As I was finishing up my program, I really wanted to dive into this industry. And I discovered Social Media Marketing World was coming up. I watched those original videos that our company did back then. I was like, oh, I've never been to San Diego. And my parents just graciously gifted me a ticket to the first Social Media Marketing World as a graduation present for my master's program.
What year was that, just out of curiosity?
That was 2013.
Okay. So you had just graduated and you were heading, or you were about to graduate?
I was like a month away from graduating. As I came to Social Media Marketing World, and I think there were, 1,200 people maybe that first year. And it was like the emoji with the little heart eyes, like I had found my people.
We should talk about when I first met Ali, she stood out. You did something very unique, and I would love you to share what you did to stand out a little bit at the event.
Yes. Yeah. So the second year, once I came, I couldn't stop coming. I was hooked. So I would have put myself into bankruptcy to make sure I came to the social media marketing world every year. But the second year, I had been to another conference in the interim between 2013 and 14, and I had seen a really cool thing at a vendor at that conference where they were giving away ribbons that go on your little conference badge. You know, the regular ones will say things like speaker or sponsor or, you know, something official. And these ribbons that I saw had fun things on them, like my ribbon is better than yours, or just official something, or runs with scissors, or just crazy stuff. And I just thought, you know what? These marketing people will eat this up. They will love this. So I went and invested a little money and I purchased, I don't know, like 20 different fun ribbons. And I brought them to Social Media Marketing World in 2014. And this was my way as an introvert of breaking the ice with people because it was a great conversation starter. I find it easier to start conversations when I have something to offer someone else. And so I would come up to people and I'd say, hey, do you want a fun ribbon? And I would make it an exchange, like I'll give you a ribbon if you give me your business card. So it just turned into this whole thing and it got me noticed. There were plenty of people on staff at that time who just thought it was great. So by the time that the society opened the next year in 2015, people sort of knew who I was. I was the ribbon lady.
Well, and actually, let me pause the story right there just to give a little more context, because 2015 is when Allie and the society comes into play. But Allie doesn't know this part of the story, which I'm going to share. I had this vision that I was going to start some sort of a membership. And I had gone and filmed this really cool video, basically out in the wilderness, hiking with a sign that was blank with no instructions on it. And I found this little rock. And the idea was that, hey, we're in this frontier land known as the social media world, right? And wouldn't it be awesome if there was a place to kind of help guide you through the ever-changing world of social media? And it came out as a really cool video. And the very first person who I actually hired to help with the society was a guy named Leslie Samuel, who's still involved today and happens to be the main stage MC at Social Media Marketing World, for those of you that have been and are familiar with Leslie. So that's a little bit of the story. Like, we were just a couple of months into launching the society, and I knew we needed to hire somebody full-time to take over the society because there was just no chance myself and Leslie were going to be able to do this on our own. So that's a part of the story that you probably didn't know, Allie, but now you can continue with the story.
Yeah, I knew some of that. I remember the year that I walked into your office and I got to hold that rock. It was like a special moment.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that year in 2015 is when the society launched, and I signed myself right up as a founding member because I was sold on anything this company wanted to do. And I was looking forward to kind of an extension of the educational opportunities I got at the conference and getting those kinds of things year round. There's something to learn. I want to learn it. So I started not only learning and participating in the meetups that we had at that time, but I was also really engaged in, at that time we had community forums on the website, and I was using the things I was learning to help other members who were asking questions. I was not a longtime veteran marketer by any means, but the trainings were so good that I felt qualified to answer some of the questions because I had gotten that information from people who were super qualified. When I saw the job opportunity come up later that year, I was like, well, I'm already doing this anyway. Why don't I get paid to do it? And it felt like an extremely natural fit for me, at least. I felt like, even though I had my own kind of agency consultancy business, getting clients is hard. Retaining clients is hard. Pleasing clients with crazy expectations is hard. And I thought, this was an amazing opportunity and a place where I could make an incredible impact to hundreds, if not thousands of people, and not just one or two or three clients here and there. It was a no-brainer for me.
So I got to say, Allie was one of many people that applied. But what Allie did was she put practically, well, I'm not going to say a novel, but I'm going to, she just What you need to know about Allie, she's really good with research and preparing information. And she put together an extremely sophisticated plan to take over the society. And she ended up getting the job. I think the rest is history. Is there any part of it that we're missing about that early stage?
No, I mean, I hit the ground running, and there's a lot of changes and improvements and things that we've made over the years. And I'm always excited to take us to the next level, and kind of we're in that phase right now. Again, it's always exciting.
Awesome. So there's a little bit of the backstory about how this product was launched and how Allie came into the equation. Why a membership site from the best of your perspective? Because obviously this has been under your direction for pretty much almost since the beginning. Why did we decide from your experience to go ahead and launch a membership site?
So memberships in general, I think, are a smart revenue stream for a business. From a business perspective, memberships are a recurring revenue model, and they have an endless growth potential that other things are a little more difficult to grow with. For a physical, like in-person event, there's only so many seats that you can fit into a room. But with an online membership, you can grow and grow and grow. And, you know, you might have to get a new tool to fit more people or pay for a more advanced tool to accommodate that many users. But as long as you're willing to make that investment, you can grow infinitely. And it, without having to do that much more work. So it's a smart revenue generator. But aside from that business side of things, memberships allow you to do things with your business and for your audience that other types of products don't offer. The thing that I love about memberships is they provide kind of like a key card to a VIP space. Our members have direct access to us, our staff, and a lot of our very well-known speakers and the people that they admire and that they want to learn from. In our community, we are constantly having these conversations around what's going on within the industry and bugs that are happening and things like that. And so being in this space, they just have access to the people that know the things that they need to figure out. So that is a huge part of it. It also provides a year-round access that you can't get with an in-person event. When we go to in-person conferences and things, we learn a lot of really amazing stuff, but things can change in our industry at the drop of a dime. And then a lot of the things you just learned 3 weeks ago are all of a sudden, maybe, gosh, is this out of date? I don't know. When you're in a year-round online community, you can ask those questions. Hey, I just learned this. Is this still accurate? And so you can ask the community, but we can also, on our end, find people to come in and speak to those things. A great example is with artificial intelligence, which blew up towards the end of 20. Well, it launched. It became a big thing at the end of 2022. It started to grow into the beginning of 2023. And it was discussed some at our conference in 2023, but it was still so relatively new that we hadn't had an opportunity to bring in a ton of experts on that topic. But between the conference in 2023 and 2024, AI has become this entity in the marketing industry that is profoundly game-changing. And in our community, we have had the opportunity already to bring in some experts to talk about strategies and tools and things that you can do to incorporate AI into your daily work and make things more efficient and all of that. So, you know, you don't have to wait a whole year for the next conference. We will bring that to you, you know, sooner than later. So that's a great benefit.
Yeah. And something I want to add on here before we flip the script, and Allie's going to ask me some questions. From a business perspective, it is really awesome to have the recurring revenue side of things. And a lot of us that sell products that have a you know, for example, a conference, right? The conference has a hard deadline, right? And then it's over with and then you can't sell it anymore. With the recurring revenue model, you have the opportunity to increase the lifetime value of a customer because we have people that have been a member from the beginning still. You know, 8 years in, they're still members of the Social Media Marketing Society. And that is almost like having a software product, right? When you get people on a recurring subscription model, it has a lot of benefits. So let's flip the switch and let's talk about, well, you go ahead and ask me the question. I'm not.
Yeah. So the society has been around just about 9 years now. We've had some ups and downs. I would love for you to share from your perspective, what are some of the challenges that we have faced along the way and how have we addressed them?
Yeah, this is the side of the equation that everybody needs to think about whenever they're building a product that doesn't ever end, right? Like a course has an end, right? But not necessarily a membership. First of all, our audience has evolved, right? So this is one of those spaces, the social media marketing space that is in constant flux. And I always said, as long as there's change, we got a good business model, right? But in the beginning, it was very simple. When we started back in the day, it was pretty much organic Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter were the main platforms, maybe a little Pinterest in there, but it was very simple. It was just like a couple of social platforms. And then as the years evolved, all of a sudden we had all these interesting evolutions, right? Where Facebook got so huge, not everybody liked Mark Zuckerberg anymore, right? And we had Cambridge Analytica and we had all these, if I'm even saying that right, we had all these interesting things happen. And we also had along the way, all sorts of new social platforms like TikTok and Instagram came up on the scene. And before you know it, it's like social media now, it's evolved in such a way that now every business uses it. And it's kind of built into the broader marketing strategy, right? So when you are selling a product where you have an evolving customer base, because we started earlier into the social media world when it was early days. And now a lot of these people that are members of our society have gone on to build successful agencies or consultancies, right? Or gone on to move from brand to brand to brand, where now they're not just responsible for community development. They're also responsible for broader things like marketing strategy, email marketing, artificial intelligence integration, content marketing, right? So there's all these evolving interests that the audience that we target has. And that means we had to evolve the product, right? We had to evolve the training. We had to involve the kinds of topics we cover when we have meetups in order to kind of stay where our customer's at. Now, if you listening are in a niche where it doesn't change very often, well, that's not going to be a problem for you. But that was one of the first things we dealt with. The other thing was we were kind of early. I believe we were early on the membership train. Would you agree with that, Allie?
Yeah, I think so. I know of a lot of people that started memberships after us.
Yeah. You know, the concept of a membership, I think, was kind of a newer idea back then. I think it existed. But instead, what people thought about back then was professional organizations, right? So a lot of people might join the American Marketing Association, which has been around forever. But there wasn't a lot of these kind of online community memberships that were there. And we were kind of early. Because we were early, we didn't have a lot of competitors. So it made it kind of easy for us. Back in the day, we were charging $30 a month for people to join, which is very affordable. And, you know, we just wanted to make it super affordable so we could get lots and lots of people into it. But today, as we're recording this in the year 2024, the whole world has changed because now it seems like everybody and their mother has got a course, right? And a lot of people have really developed amazing courses. And my good friend, Amy Porterfield, kudos to you for like evangelizing that so much. But there's also a lot of people that have come up and developed their own memberships, right? And now there's niche memberships for everything you could possibly imagine. Right now, there's probably a million AI memberships that are out there, right? So there's now all of a sudden a lot of niche coverage for all sorts of very little things, like, for example, Facebook ads memberships, just that one narrow thing. In addition to this, you've also got a lot of low or no cost competitors in our space. So, for example, the obvious no cost one would be YouTube, right? There's a lot of people that create exceptionally high quality free content on YouTube. You've also got like lynda.com, which is a LinkedIn company. You've got Udemy and all these others that are creating courses that are good, but often they're just done in a point in time and they're not necessarily evolved, but it doesn't matter. That it, what matters is what the consumer thinks. If they think that, you know, this is valid, even though it was done 2 years ago, then they're going to compare you and your membership up against these free offers. In addition, a lot of the experts that are in our sphere of influence, the people that speak at Social Media Marketing World, the people that I have on my podcast, many of those people have their own communities, right? Their own courses. So technically we're competing against them. And in order for us to kind of deal with this, what I'm going to call democratization of information, right? The fact that information is practically free, it's out there, and you've even got artificial intelligence telling you how to do things, right? We had to kind of like rethink how we value the product, right? And we had to say, hey, instead of just saying it's just about the training, it's also now the training, the community, the experiences. And that's where we had to inject things like meetups at both our physical events, Social Media Marketing World, which we've been doing for years, and also online meetups to allow marketers to kind of actually talk to other marketers, right? To understand the plight and the challenge. So that's the second thing. The third thing is finding really good talent. The challenge with having a membership that has a training component to it, where it's not just one person, right? In our case, it's not me. I'm not the expert, right? Many people who listen to this podcast know I bring on experts. And a lot of these experts that I bring on, they don't remain an expert forever in their niche. You've seen this, Allie. We've both seen this. So many people that, like Lewis Howes is a great example. Lewis Howes in the early days, what was he known for? Do you remember what he was known for? It was LinkedIn.
Oh, you're right. Yes.
It was LinkedIn. So back in the early days, Lewis was the LinkedIn guy, okay? And obviously now he's a podcaster. School of Greatness is his thing, right? So you have all these different people who jumped in on trends when they were early and they became known for that. And then eventually, for whatever reason, they fizzle out and they move on to other things, right? So what that creates is a bit of a challenge to constantly figure out a way to locate and recruit relevant talent so that the training is up to date. We at Social Media Examiner do how many trainings a year, Allie?
Across the company or with the society?
Just with the society.
With the society, it's about 24 a year.
Yeah, so think about that. 24 trainings a year. Two times a month, we bring on experts to train in all sorts of different things, the things we've been talking about. And almost always, it's someone different every time, right? So you're talking about 20 to 24 people every year that we have to identify, recruit, vet, train, and get ready to train inside the society. That's not easy. That's not easy. That requires a really good talent discovery system, which we've got. And it also requires you, if you're thinking about doing this, anyone who's listening, to have incredible deep bench of relationships. And that is something we have at Social Media Examiner because of this podcast. So many of you probably know this, but if you don't know this, a lot of the guests that I get on the podcast, I become very good friends with them. And some of them I invite to train inside of our Social Media Marketing Society and to go along a different path than what we do on the podcast, right? And obviously the training in the society is visual and that makes it a little bit different. So that's a challenge, right? When you're developing this kind of a product, which is to figure out who's going to teach on what and to map it out. And it's a logistical nightmare. Have I forgotten anything?
I don't think so. But okay. I do love when I get that message from you that's like, hey, I've got someone that's really great on Instagram or short form video or whatever it is. Yeah, the people that we've had come and train in our program is, they're amazing.
Did you know that we can deliver awesome marketing info directly into your inbox? Simply subscribe to our weekly newsletter that comes out 3 days a week. You won't miss any of the updates going on in the world of social marketing. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates.
So, Mike, switching to the marketing side of things, How have we historically marketed the society?
It's a great question. And I think a lot of marketers will find this really fascinating. So in the early days, it was very easy to market. All we had to do was say, hey, you want training? Come get our training. And our price was very affordable. And it was a volume play. And the value proposition was purely training. And that's what it was, training, training, training. And the way that we marketed it was we have always employed a scarcity concept. And when I say scarcity, I mean, we treated it kind of like a private school or a university where there was an enrollment period and then the doors closed and you could not get in after the doors were closed. And I'm here to tell you that this marketing strategy has worked really, really well. But the challenge with it is very complicated because, but let me first talk about why it worked so well. And I'll get into a little bit of the challenge in just a second. There's nothing like a hard deadline to force someone to make a decision, right? And that happens when you have a conference because the deadline is actually the event, right? And you're either there or you're not. But when you have a membership, sometimes you got to force a deadline. And we would often have a spring enrollment and sometimes we would have a fall enrollment. But most seasons, we wouldn't have the enrollment open until a full year. That's generally how we did it. So this kind of scarcity was really, really effective and allowed us when we marketed it to actually have a countdown timer on the sales page that the doors were going to close and that you weren't going to be able to get in for another year. And that enabled all sorts of FOMO in the eyes of the recipient. And then we would have a wait list, right? And we would let that wait list grow until the season was up. And then we would remarket it. And I'll get into some of the challenges actually a little bit later. The other thing that we did was we also marketed our Facebook group as a feature. So in the early days, Facebook groups were amazing. And they're still pretty cool, but we'll talk about those a little bit later as well. But this was one of the big value propositions was, hey, here's a place where all the marketing community is going to go. And it's a special exclusive paid Facebook group. In addition, the way that we sold this, after about the first year, we realized there's this thing called churn. And if you don't have a software product or a recurring revenue product, you might not understand what churn is. Churn is when people try it and then their credit card declines or they just decide to cancel. And churn was always a problem. Churn was our nightmare, wasn't it, Allie? Right? In the early days?
Well, it's always a challenge. Yeah.
So whenever you're selling something that has a recurring fee on a monthly basis, the challenge is if they don't get enough value in the first month, they're not going to subscribe again. Right? So that was a struggle. And we decided to solve it by coming up with an annual plan. And by our second year, we had come up with a slight discounted annual plan and then a slightly more expensive monthly plan. But over the years, when we began to run the analysis and our financial folks started looking at everything, it was very clear to us that our retention on the monthly stuff was maybe 3 months before we would get people churning out. And we knew that was problematic because people wouldn't have enough time. And 3 months was on the generous side. Sometimes it was 2 months. They didn't have enough time to really try out the community, see what it's all about, and see all the great stuff that we had. So we decided to discount the annual plan dramatically, right? So the annual plan was like really affordable and the monthly plan was really expensive. And the idea was that most people, our hope was, would go for the annual plan so that we would end up getting more than just a couple of months at the old rates. And that really worked for us actually really, really well. Then we didn't have to deal with the nightmare of churn. And Allie, I would say most of our customers at this point are on the annual plan, wouldn't you say that?
The vast majority, yes.
Yeah. So we shift that up. We also tried something during kind of the COVID era where we decided to try to sell our training workshops as one-off independent products that were live experiences that people could participate in. And then we would upsell them to join the membership. Like, hey, if you thought that was amazing, there's all these other trainings waiting for you. And that didn't work. So that's the way we marketed it over the last like 7 years. And we've obviously changed it and evolved it quite a bit.
Yeah. So let's get into that. What have we changed? What are we doing now?
Well, we've changed a lot. The reason we've changed a lot is, like I mentioned earlier, our community has changed, right? And we've got to compete with a different world than we were in when we started this thing 8 years ago. So the first thing that we did most recently, literally as of this recording, is we've abandoned the monthly membership and we've gone to a quarterly subscription and an annual subscription. And this was a really important discovery. And we're starting to see a lot more membership communities moving to a quarterly subscription because it gives new customers a good couple of months to experience the product before they can decide to renew. And they're set on automatic renewal, by the way, on all these things, unless they cancel. But with the old model, with the monthly subscription, if they didn't get around to it in the first month, they would just cancel. And the annual subscription was such a big premium. There wasn't something in the middle that allowed people to kind of try this out. So we've moved to this quarterly subscription model, which we don't know how it's going to perform. This is new for us. What's exciting about it is we're very optimistic that people will find that affordable and less costly than going with the annual. And we're kind of hopeful that a lot of people will take us up on a quarterly subscription, because the truth is that it's more profitable for us because we're discounting the annual subscription as well. Another thing that we've decided to do, which is kind of a big deal, is we have decided to open the society year round. And part of the challenge with selling a product that was only open for like 4 to 6 weeks a year was a lot of people were ready to buy and the product wasn't available. And we live in a different era now where people want what they want, and they want it when they want it. Right, Allie? Yeah. Nobody wants to wait 9 months or a year to be able to get back in on a product. So the reason we were resistant to having it open year round is because we know it's going to be a little harder to sell it year round, right? Because there's not that scarcity. So we've been able to get creative. Myself and Allie and also John, our director of marketing, have been able to get creative on how we are actually positioning this product. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time kind of explaining the creative solution we came up with, because I think some marketers might, especially if you're selling some sort of an ongoing recurring thing and you've had doors open and close, you might find what we're about to do really intriguing. So the first thing we did was we established a more expensive retail price for both quarterly subscriptions and annual subscriptions. And these more costly quarterly and annual subscriptions are going to be the year-round pricing, okay? And then we're going to have a season where we're going to actively market the product. And in that season, we're going to actually reduce the quarterly price and reduce the annual price pretty substantially. So substantially that if our customers decide to go for the annual price during this period, it's like getting 3 months free, where during the regular period, it's like getting 2 months free. In addition, we're also discounting the quarterly and the annual subscription. So it's kind of got a compounding benefit effect. So we believe that what we're going to do is promote a really big sale, kind of like a furniture stores do this and other kinds of retailers that sell expensive things year round. The idea is that the sale period, where we're only going to have this sale during a certain season, will stimulate sales. And then anybody who misses it will just pay the retail price. And in the off season, we'll promote it through all our own media channels, like our email newsletter, our podcasting, our website, and so on and so forth. Does that make sense, Allie?
Yes. Yeah. And I love that we're doing this, because we do have people that say, you know, I had a rough spell last year. I'd love to rejoin now. Things have gotten better. And, you know, we're kind of stuck in a hard place, or we say, well, we have a waiting list. But I would love to be able to just let people in and tell people to join the society year round, because it's worth it year round. You know, they need it now.
It gives us the opportunity to do flash sales, for example, if we decide to want to do something on Black Friday. Not that we're going to do that, because we haven't really figured that out yet, but we're excited about that. Okay, another thing that we decided to do was we decided to move away from Facebook groups. We still have our Facebook group, but anybody who runs a Facebook group understands the challenges that are faced by Facebook groups right now. Mark Zuckerberg has deprioritized the newsfeed exposure in Facebook groups. Some people see Facebook groups all the time, but most people are seeing Reels content, you know, in the Facebook feed, or they're seeing content from people that don't know who they are. And it's getting harder and harder for that Facebook group content to be seen when people are inside the newsfeed. In addition, the Facebook API has been deprioritized by Facebook and it will be shut down soon, which makes it a little harder for people to do all sorts of interesting things like go live inside of a group or use third-party tools to do data analysis and so on and so forth. So we made the challenging decision to come up with our own community and to use a third-party tool to do that. And we're going to be migrating all of our consumers over to that community. What's cool about the community is it can do things that are a little different than what you can do inside of, for example, a Facebook group. And Allie, I'm going to try to touch on a couple of them. Well, actually, why don't you touch on a couple of the things it can do that you can't do inside of a Facebook group?
Yeah, you probably noticed my face just kind of light up like a light bulb, because I am so stinking excited about this new community space. You know, Facebook is a neat tool for communities, but it's a single channel. And I have had a dream for a very long time of having a customizable space where we can have different topic-based channels where people can have various discussions. And the place where we are moving to now has the ability for people to just strike up voice room calls with each other that actually do include video as well. There is an amazing integration that allows us to...
With Zoom, right?
Yeah, it's with Zoom. Yeah, so they have a really cool integration with Zoom that makes meetups super easy on our end.
So we can do breakout rooms for discussions and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, but it also has like when that Zoom goes live, it actually pops up on the platform and people can join directly from the community into the Zoom room.
Well, what about email too? Email notifications is a big
deal. It does the email. It will send an email afterward asking like, how was it? With a little smiley face or frowny face. And there is a membership directory that is searchable. There is an automation that when people set up their profile, it automatically puts their information into an introductions channel. So we already have all these people like that we know things about them we haven't known for years just because they filled that out and now it exists in the community. It's incredible. And then it's got an amazing space where we can put documents.
Also, the mobile app does allow notifications, which makes it a lot easier, right? Because most people don't have notifications on for Facebook anymore. So it does encourage discussion inside.
Or they just get missed because there's a gazillion of them a day.
Right.
Whereas when you see this pop up from our community, you know where it's coming from. You know, we've already had people telling us that, you know, this is so much easier to notice than their notifications from Facebook.
Awesome. All right. Well, back to you to ask the next question.
Going back to our marketing, you know, the messaging of the society has evolved over time. So how has that changed and what are we doing with it now?
For those that don't know, I'm kind of like the chief copywriter at Social Media Examiner just because it's one of my little gifts. And the old messaging was very much focused on stuff that still matters, but it was like, hey, become a marketing pro or become a social marketing pro, become the hero for your company, right? And that messaging really did work for quite a few years. In addition, it was focused heavily on training, right? Get training. It's hard to get training everywhere else. Unfortunately, as we mentioned earlier, that's easier to get now. Level up your marketing skills. And it was very much about showcasing all these different marketing workshops that were going on. So that was the old messaging. And that messaging kind of had a diminishing return as a lot of marketing messaging does. So our new messaging now is focused a little bit more on the community, a lot more on the community. So for example, now some of the themes are like gain access to more than 1,000 marketers who are focused on business building, which I think is more appealing, right? Getting access to fellow marketers who are all kind of in the same boat. There's a welcoming community waiting for you, right? There's a lot of marketers who operate inside their businesses or the businesses that they work for where they don't have anybody to talk to, right? Their boss doesn't understand what they do. Right. And having a place where you can go and like talk to other people that's super welcoming is kind of valuable.
Marketing, and especially in today's world, so many marketers work from home and or work in a one person department where nobody gets them. And it can be a very isolating role to be in. And so it just makes such a difference to have a community of people to like ping ideas off of or to get feedback about something. Yeah. It's great.
Another cool thing that we did is many of you might have noticed that I had Melina Palmer on the show to talk about behavioral economics. And that was episode, oh my gosh, maybe you could look it up, Allie. You have access to our spreadsheet, right?
I do.
Okay, look it up while I'm talking about it. What's cool is you guys might have noticed I geeked out when I was talking to Melina because she talked about some killer stuff and she introduced the concept of behavioral economics. So I ended up introducing, and by the way, if you get it, just tell me the episode number. Do you know what it is or no?
Yeah, it was episode 602.
Okay, so go to socialmediaexaminer.com/602 and like binge listen to this episode because it was that good. Melina gave me some really cool ideas that I was able to integrate into our sales page messaging. Here's one of them. For everyone seeking change, welcome to the Social Media Marketing Society. Now, when you hear that, for whatever reason, does something to me. And I don't know if it does something to you, Allie, but when you say for everyone seeking change, the way those words are positioned are very powerful. In addition, words like when you're a member, you get new and ongoing professional development. Notice I didn't say if you're a member.
I said, when you're a member, it presupposes that you will become a member. And I use this kind of language all over the place. Let's just pause for a second. When you read this language, you noticed a difference, didn't you, Allie?
Oh, yeah. It feels completely different.
Yeah, it feels different. And how does it feel?
It feels, for lack of a better term, it's got a much more like warm and fuzzy feeling.
Yeah, it does. And believe it or not, there is something about it because it doesn't come across as masculine as a lot of the language has in the past. And there's a lot of copywriters out there that are brilliant that talk about really rub in the pain and, you know, agitate it a little bit, right? And then talk about how if you don't do this, your life is going to fall apart, right? And I tried to avoid a lot of that in this new language. Instead, I tried to help the reader of the sales page to imagine what something like this could do for them so that they can embrace change. And embracing change is one of the key themes that I work throughout the entire thing, because the truth of the matter is us marketers are going through a lot of change. I mean, like, oh my gosh, this is the year of change, right? A lot of it is spurred by AI. Others of it is spurred by social platform changes. So these are the ways that we have gone about altering our messaging and altering our language. And for those that are listening right now, whether you are going to develop, you know, a membership or a course, I would strongly recommend you think about what I just talked about, because slight alterations of a messaging on a sales page to kind of be up with the times can actually move the needle in a pretty dramatic way. So those are kind of the ways that we have changed up everything.
I was just going to say just a quick little plug, because we actually have recruited Melina to come over and speak in the society as well.
Oh, cool.
So that will be coming up. Well, it'll be May of this year. But if you join at a later date, it's there in the library that you can go back and listen to anytime.
Awesome. What's our last question?
Where can we learn more, Mike?
That was a softball question. Okay. Well, smmarketingsociety.com. smmarketingsociety.com, which stands for Social Media Marketing Society. So smmarketingsociety.com, if you don't remember that because you're out and about driving or whatever, just go to Social Media Examiner. You all know how to get there and you should be able to see it in the navigation bar. Allie, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And hopefully everybody found this intriguing. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Hey, if you missed anything, we took all the notes for you over at socialmediaexaminer.com/606. If you're new to the show, be sure to follow us. If you've been a longtime listener, would you let your friends know about this show? I'm at Stelzner on Facebook and at Mike_Stelzner on Twitter/X. And do check out our other shows, the Marketing Agency Show and the Social Media Marketing Talk Show. This brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Social Media Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Stelzner. I'll be back with you next week. I hope you make the best out of your day, and may your marketing keep evolving.
The Social Media Marketing Podcast is a production of Social Media Examiner.
Want more good stuff? Sign up for our top-notch social marketing newsletter. We deliver it straight into your inbox 3 days a week. Visit socialmediaexaminer.com/getupdates.